Welcome to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We are taking some time to go through the book of Ephesians and discover the foundations of our faith. Here is Pastor Nate with today's message of our series, Start Again.
I've titled this message, if you take notes, I'm Just Like You. Somebody say, I'm just like you. Just like you. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, it says this. This I say, therefore, again, Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, that you should no longer walk. Now, I mentioned this last week. In this chapter and in chapter 5, about five times he tells us to walk in some way or another. Last week he told us to walk worthy. Next week he's going to tell us to walk in love. He's also going to tell us to walk in light. And then he's going to tell us to walk carefully or circumspectly. And then tonight he says, do not walk or no longer walk. And he says specifically like the Gentiles. We'll talk about that in a minute. Who walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. He tells us that we should no longer walk like the Gentiles. And the reason he tells us this is because there was people that were acting just like the Gentiles, but they were no longer like the Gentiles. They're saying, I'm just like you. You know, we're doing this thing. We're doing this. I'm a Christian, but I'm just like you. We behave the same. We act the same. We go the same places. We think the same. We talk the same. We do all the same things. I'm just like you. And Paul's like, hold on, time out. If you've placed faith in Jesus Christ, you can no longer live the same way as those that don't know Christ or that you did before you knew Christ. And Paul makes it very clear that someone who has said yes to following Jesus should no longer live like those that don't know Jesus. And I think many Christians, I mean, I'm sure we can all relate that we try as Jesus followers, we want to be like Jesus, but at the same time, we attempt to look and think and behave just like everyone else. Like if we could go through the motions where everybody didn't even think anything different than us, that we're Christian, like we know we're going to heaven and we're Christian and we're doing this thing, but at the same time, like nobody knows and they can't spot the difference and everything looks exactly the same because our Instagram and how we talk and the music we listen to and all the things that we do look just like them. So if they could never tell, then that would be the sweet spot. You know what I mean? Like we're going to heaven, like everything's good, me and God are tight, but at the same time, me and people are tight because they don't know any difference. And so Paul describes first for us the old man, how they used to behave or how the people that don't know Jesus behave. And to sum it up, he says the old man focuses or their focus was on empty things. The pursuit of things that do not matter and cannot satisfy. It's basically what he says in verse 19. He says, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all cleanness with greediness. The idea is that life before Christ or without Christ, the old man pursues self-gratification with no concern for others and is in constant pursuit of more. They're never happy enough and they never have enough. It's basically what he says about the old man. Never happy enough, always looking for the next high, the next excitement, the next thing that will keep them entertained. Never happy enough, and they never have enough. No matter what mountain they've climbed, what they've experienced, where they've been, what they have, any of that, it's never enough. And everything they do is in pursuit of those things. And so Paul transitions and tells us that's not who you are in Christ. He says in verse 20, he says, but you have not so learned Christ. Another translation would say, that is not what you learned about Christ. He says, this is the old man. This is their pursuit. It's about self. It's about being feeling happy. I always get those two words, feeling, whatever. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
All right. You can like laugh at me. That's okay too. At least I know you're alive. they're constantly pursuing self. And he says, but that's not what you learned about Christ. That's not the life for you in Christ. And Paul, with this colossal transition, tells us that we should no longer be focused on those things because we are a new man or woman. And he tells us what is new in Christ. Really quickly, three things that is brand new. If you are a Jesus follower, you are not just like them. Maybe I should have titled my message that. I'm not just like you. But three things that change. Number one, you have a new identity. Now, identity is kind of like, I mean, this is like youth talk 101. You know what I mean? Like, you go to any youth conference and we got to talk about identity. Now, identity, this idea, basically is who we are. It's how we define ourselves and what makes you you, right? Like, this is who I am. This is my characteristics. These are my interests. This is my flaws. This is who I am. And most of the time, we define ourselves, we identify ourselves by what we do or our interests or where we come from or whatever. All of which are elements of who we are, and they give us personality and character, but we're more than that. You are more than a list of skills and interests and music playlists. Like, you cannot summarize yourself just based upon, like, your Spotify top 40. You can't. Like, this is who I am. No. Okay, those are some of your interests, some of your personality. You can't qualify and identify yourself by your grade point average. You can't identify yourself about where you're planning on go to school or what school you're currently in. None of that. Those are elements of who you are, but you are much, much more than that. And Paul explains to us the main difference in our identity. And he tells us the old man lived by the blindness or the hardness of their heart. But in Christ, he tells us that our heart softens or changes. We no longer should have a heart obsessed with self, but is now directed towards God. And the change, that reality that we no longer live, he says, by the blindness. Another translation says hardness of your heart. That means the idea of hardness of heart means that we're not willing to see or listen or hear what God wants to do. A hardened heart is saying that it's about what I want. And the more you harden your heart, the harder it is for it to be softened. The more you say no to God and you ignore God and you reject God, the more difficult it becomes to say yes to him, because this idea, your heart becomes hardened. And so he says, the old man has a hardened heart. The new man is softened and changed and can see things as God wants us to see them. And that change from the inside out should affect how you see yourself. We aren't defined by what we do, but we are now defined, we are now characterized, we are now summarized by who we are in Christ. It's a new identity. And what that should do for us is, if you've placed faith in Jesus, is it should cause you to go, yeah, I'm not a list of skills or interests or music or whatever it is. I'm not a list of that. I'm what God has defined me as. And I could go on and on about what God has defined you as. But to summarize it, you're a child of God. Summarize it, you belong to God. To summarize it, God's proud of you. God's happy with you. The Bible says he's well pleased with you. That's just basically like an old school way of saying he thinks you're cool. Right? Like, God is, he's obsessed with you. He loves you. He's proud of you. And everything that you do should stem from this new identity. It's not about what I've done or where I've been or what my interests are, but who God has said you are. So you've got a new identity. Secondly, you've got a new lifestyle. A new lifestyle. Paul tells us to put off former conduct. Look at it there in verse 22. He says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The language used is literally as if someone was changing clothes. Like, imagine, you just got home from school, or maybe, like, last period was PE or HOPE or whatever it is they call it these days, and, or you just got home from work or your sport or whatever it is, and you got home, and you, like, feel disgusting. It was one of those days, and you're like, that classroom was so hot, and, like, do they even understand air conditioning? Like, why are there so many warm bodies in this tiny room? And you get home and you just feel disgusting, and you go home and you take a shower and you get out of the shower, and for whatever reason you put on the same clothes you were just wearing. No, that's disgusting, right? Like, there's still the armpit stains on that t-shirt. Why is it back on your body? the idea is you've been cleansed, and now you put off that old. They go in the pile, or they go on the chair, like, you know what I mean, or the foot of your bed, like the space that all of our clothes go. And then later we forget that it's actually dirty, and we rummage through it. I'm like, this is probably fine. Just me, anyways. Put off is the idea. Put off the former self and put on, he says, something brand new. He's saying that there was a lifestyle and behavior that used to describe us, and that is no longer who we are. He describes that old man as corrupt behavior. Corruption is often a slow process, isn't it? He even tells us that the old man grows corrupt. A lot of times people aren't like corrupted overnight. You ever watch like a movie and it's like that cop is like, he's been corrupted. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a dirty cop. It's a dirty cop. Like, you ever seen Batman? There's like a million dirty cops. Right? Okay, anyways. So the idea of corruption, it's like, it's a slow, it's something, he literally says, grows corrupt. It's something that we choose. But once something is corrupted, it's difficult or impossible to change. You ever had like a file on your computer be corrupted? Where you can no longer open it? One time, my computer did that, where the whole thing just somehow got corrupted. It got a virus. It was back in the day when, you probably don't know anything about this, but LimeWire. You guys ever heard of LimeWire? Basically, it was like before music streaming, and it was like you downloaded this super sketchy like application onto your computer, and you could download music for free. Super sketchy, 100% gave you viruses, like guaranteed. And so I had it, and the whole computer just corrupt, just gone. You download LimeWire, your life is over. You have free music for a little while, and then it's over. And once it's corrupted, it's almost impossible to get it back and to get that information back. And our new lifestyle, we have to put away those things that corrupt us. Paul would write to us in another text to show us really where the root of which, where this corruption comes from. He says it like this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, don't be deceived, don't be tricked, don't let anybody fool you. He says, evil company corrupts good habits. That same word, corrupts. Something growing worse, decaying, becoming almost, you can't bring it back. And he says, evil company, the idea, another way of saying would be bad friends. Evil company corrupts, he says, even good habits. Not just good behaviors. He takes it a step further because behavior could be like a one-off thing. A habit is something you do regularly. So you can have a good habit, something you're invested in. Maybe it's you wake up, you're reading God's word. Maybe it's you're listening to worship songs. Maybe it's before you even get on Instagram in the morning, you're just asking God, go before me today. You've got a good habit. You've got a routine, something that is good. And then he says, evil company will corrupt that habit. Bad friends, bad company, bad situations, bad environment will corrupt, he says, good habits. What we need to understand is that there is now a new lifestyle and a new behavior, new conduct, the word that he uses, that is now called for those that are followers of Jesus. And when we enter into new lifestyle, we are now influenced by the word of God and the spirit of God, and we have this new conduct, new behavior, new lifestyle. All right, point number three. Not only do we have a new identity and a new lifestyle, we also have a new mind. A new mind. Paul concludes this section by telling us that to be renewed by the spirit of your mind. In other words, to change the way that you're thinking. Your mind's your control center, isn't it? So much of your mood and your direction and your goals for the day come from how your mindset is on that particular day. Right? Someday you wake up and you're like, I could take over the world. Like, you got so much drive and ambition. And you're like, this is my day. I'm going to do it. And then the next day you wake up like, I don't think I'm going to get out of bed today. Like, that seems like the plan. It's perfect. Right? And it's a mindset. It's how we're, and a lot of times, especially like adulting, you've ever heard that phrase? It's like when, hashtag adulting, it's when people just do regular things and they like want a big deal about it. Like, hey, look at me, I'm paying my bills, so everybody notice me, hashtag adulting. But it's like you're just doing what adults have been doing for like centuries. Anyways, that's besides the point. What was I even saying? New mind. New mindset. Yeah, thanks. Still don't know what that means, but awesome. Everything flows from our mindset, and once we have that new mindset, once we allow ourselves to be changed. He says, renewed by the spirit of your mind, then now you can live and do what God wants you to do. Everything flows from your thoughts and from your mindset. And so Paul describes some of the things that should be affected as a result of our new mindset. Jump down to verse 25. It's where we left off. We'll breeze through this real quick. He says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So he says, these are some of the things that change in your mind as a follower of Jesus. He says, put off lying. We know what lying is, right? It's not the truth. It's like when your parents say, where were you? And you're like, you were here, but actually you were here. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, did you put that away? Of course I did. So the idea here is don't lie. He goes on, look at this, verse 26. He says, be angry, but don't sin. Now, this is a whole other message that we should talk about another time, but there are things that we should be angry about. There should be things that should frustrate us and get us upset. And I think as it relates to our Bible study, because there's a million things I could talk about, one of the things that should frustrate us is watching our friends and people we care about get sold the lie that is anything else but Jesus. That should frustrate us. To watch people that we care about get so caught up with the lie that says that other things besides God is better, that should cause us to go, that is a lie. That is something, and that anger, that frustration, that feeling in your stomach, watching your friends or families or people you care about walk away from God should stir something inside of you to do something about it. He says, be angry. We're allowed to be angry, but then he says, don't sin. And he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. He says, nor give any place to the devil. In other words, build up walls or build up barricades or build up anything that you can to protect yourself from the attack of the enemy. Be forward thinking. Don't think about your spiritual attack with hindsight, but with foresight. You know, a lot of times when you go through something, you're like, should have done that. Right? You heard the saying, hindsight's 20/20. It's like, I get it now. This is what I should have done. He says, don't give any place for the enemy to attack. He says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor. Verse 29, he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. We could probably spend all day talking about that one. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but not just don't say bad words. And the idea of bad words, it could be profanity, it could be inappropriate, but it also could be just tearing people down. Just not being uplifting, because that's what he says. But instead, what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Obviously, I don't want to beat it too hard, but as followers of Jesus, if you said yes to Jesus, the words that you say matter. And so one, we don't want to sound like everybody else. And so if everybody's using these words, maybe we shouldn't. Shane joked on Sunday, if you're here, like use the Christian bad words, like gosh and darn. But rather, instead of sounding like everybody else, using our words to build up instead of break down. And then he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That idea is do not grieve the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't ignore the voice of God. Don't ignore the voice of God. When God speaks to you and says, hey, this is what you should do, or hey, this is not what you should do, don't ignore that. Because God cares about you and wants what's best for you. So when he speaks to you, he's trying to get you to respond so that you will live your best life, the life that God has for you. He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And he says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Same language that he used about putting off, put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, here's the key, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, all of these things that he says, this whole list, lying, this idea of being angry and not sinning, stealing, cursing or speaking evil, grieving the Holy Spirit, bittering, harboring hatred, all of these things will be affected by the new mind we have in Christ. Where we're saying, God, I want you to renew my mind, make me think and look and act how you want me to. With that, we must choose to put off the old man and walk in the new life that God has for you. All right, worship team, you guys can come up here. I've got two quick thoughts as we close. Is that okay? Yeah. Two quick thoughts and we'll be done. So we're new in Christ. We have a new identity. We have a new lifestyle. We have a new mind. But I think we need to understand that there's motivation, if you will, behind these new things. The first thing I want you to understand is that anyone and everyone can experience this new life. Anyone and everyone can experience this new life. I find it interesting. Remember Paul said, and I said we get there, Paul said at the beginning that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. Now, some of us, we know that word. We're like Bible scholars. We're like, oh, yeah, I know what a Gentile is. Others are like, what the heck is a Gentile? A Gentile would be used in their time and the Jewish culture, because remember, most of the Bible happened in a little place called Israel. And the Jewish culture, they would call Gentile anybody that is a non-Jew. It's kind of the idea. And so Paul says, no longer walk as the Gentiles. And so he summarizes this, like the whole world, basically, by calling these people, he says, Gentile. Which, you know, it kind of sounds like a little harsh or like derogatory, like don't be like a Gentile, right? Like don't be like someone from Vero Beach. Like it's kind of the idea. You know what I mean? Like those Vero Beachians or whatever, however you say it. Don't be like them. Don't walk like them any longer. Gentile, non-Jew, it kind of sounds like a derogatory term. And the idea was bigger than that. It was more than just the where they were from. The idea was that it was the stereotype would be any of those not in the faith family of God. So the Jews were God's chosen people, and the rest of the world were not in the faith family of God. But you need to understand, when Paul writes this, is that he's writing to a church in Ephesus, which was a Gentile church and a Gentile city. Right? So he says, no longer walk like the Gentiles. And they're like, I'm a Gentile. How do I not walk like a Gentile? What do you mean? How is that supposed to work? Do I change like the way that I walk? I don't get it. And so a church filled with non-Jews that now he's writing to them, these Gentiles, non-Jews, have now placed faith in Jesus, right? And so he says, no longer walk like the Gentiles, but he's writing to a group of Jesus following Gentiles. And so the idea is that no matter who you were before, you can now be a part of the faith family through Christ. That's the idea. Anyone and everyone can experience relationship with God. Anybody can have this new life. He says, no longer walk like a Gentile. Well, we were a Gentile. What happened? Well, now you're a part of something different. You're not just welcomed into the Jewish faith family. God has created a whole brand new thing where Jew and Gentile and the like now are adopted into God's family, Christ's family, and they belong to the family, the greater family of God. Anyone and everyone now belong to God. The second thing I want you to remember, not only can anyone and everyone experience this life, secondly, always remember the why. I think when it comes to the new life in Christ, sometimes it's hard to continue because we lack motivation. You know, have you guys ever, like, the series Start Again, we kicked it off in the new year. I'm sure many of us, like, we have, like, New Year's resolution. And we're like, I can't even remember what they were. Like, I don't know. Guess it doesn't really matter. If it was important to me, I'd have remembered it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's hard to remember the motivate. Like, why did I even say it? I'm sure if you ask, like, a lot of people, like, hey, what was your New Year's resolution? They'd be like this. How come? I don't really know, actually. So, like, what's the motivation? When it comes to new life, it's hard to recognize or to realize the motivation. Paul gives it to us, and it's the key motivation. Look at the end of verse 32 again. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, ready, even as God in Christ forgave you. There, all of it is now put into perspective. Even as God in Christ or through Christ has forgiven you. How did he forgive us? Well, one, the Bible says he forgave us. He saved us while we were yet sinners. So when we were against God, going in a opposite direction of God, he forgave us and he saved us. Not only did he save us while we were yet sinners, the Bible tells us that he forgave us even when we didn't ask for forgiveness. Listen to this. Jesus is speaking while he's on the cross. This is in Luke chapter 23. He's speaking. He says this. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Why? Because they have no idea what they're doing. Even though we didn't ask for forgiveness, God has already given us the option to be forgiven. It's there. He's already forgiven you. Now we have to grab onto it, but he has forgiven us even though we didn't ask. And then the third thing, not only were we forgiven while we were yet sinners, not only were we forgiven when we didn't ask, but also we have unlimited forgiveness. Unlimited forgiveness. I think God's love for us is revealed in his forgiveness. God's love for us is revealed for us in his forgiveness. And no matter how we fail, God always forgives.
You've been listening to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. Thanks for tuning in. We pray that this message has brought you closer in your relationship with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Pastor Nate's teaching, check us out online at middlegroundradio.com. And if you'd like to keep up with all that's going on, follow us on Instagram at Middle Ground Radio. Be blessed, and we hope to see you next time here on Middle Ground Radio.